So we left off last week finishing up about the Donatists and flowing right into the Pauletians. And this is actually the last slide from the Donatists. And when I see pictures like this, it gets my mind working. Because it's a drawing, it's a picture, but these things really happened. And the reality is these things could really happen again. I don't know that we really, and you know, you don't want to go around depressing yourself all day, you know, but I think we, have you counted the cost? The potential cost to serve Christ? Have we? We've had it pretty easy. But I look at this picture and I see this woman, you know, and she's in the prayer position. This guy's got a smug little smirk on his face. And, you know, these two guys, a couple of weaklings, can't even push a woman over on a ladder. You read about some of the martyrs and what happened to them. And I'll tell you something. There's no questioning. Those people love God. You're not going to die for something, let alone die the death that they died, if you aren't truly persuaded, as Paul said. Right? Persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed. For I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. It's sobering. It's very sobering. So, getting into the Pauletians. The Pauletians were AD 660. They were really prevalent during the Dark Ages. From the beginning of the Dark Ages, about 400 years forward, they had a real time of prominence. I use that word loosely, prominence. You know, they suffered a lot of persecution. But the Pauletian movement was pretty strong during that time. They're called Pauletians for two reasons. They placed a strong emphasis on the epistles of Paul, and they adopted Pauline names for their leaders. The historians claim apostolic origin of these churches. Gibbon stated in his classic book, The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire, the faith of the Pauletians stemmed to the first century and was a branch of Antiochian Christianity. As I began to look through some of the, and it's funny, Sister Nancy brought up this morning about history. When you're reading history, you have to understand that you're reading someone else's view of something through their lens. A lot of your historians will point to the Pauletians and say that they believed in apostolic succession. Basically, that the apostles passed on their authority, that we continue to have a ministry of apostles all the way through the Dark Ages and into the new or our modern day. We know that's not true because of some things that the ministry of the apostles were granted authority and power to perform miracles. There was a legitimizing of their authority, and we never saw that continue past the time of the apostles. Brother Kevin, you got to pick up some books, don't you? I totally forgot about that. Does anybody else need a book to borrow? We're on page 64. Yeah. I'll let you guys get there. So, the Pauletians were, again, a lot like the other groups we've studied. They maintained certain distinctives. we don't look back through history and say, I think I like that group. I'm going to claim them as part of my history. Well, I like this group. I'm going to claim them as part. No. The Word of God lays out certain distinctives. We call those the Baptist distinctives. Sole authority of Scripture, liberty of conscience, believer's baptism by immersion. There's certain things, doctrines, that if you don't adhere to, then you're not an obedient New Testament church. Salvation by grace through faith, right? We don't believe in baptismal regeneration. So when we look at these churches through history, these movements, the Donatists, the Waldenses, the Paulicians, so on and so on and so on, we're looking for certain characteristics. Did they adhere to these doctrines? If they do, then we recognize that they are a part of our heritage. They are part of the continuation of the church that Christ said that he would preserve. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it, right? So when we look at these people groups, we're looking to see that there were certain things that they adhered to. Separation of church and state, right? Purity of the church, so on and so forth. So if those things aren't there, then we have to look at that through the lens of Scripture. So that's what we're talking about. When we look at history, when you read a history book, you're looking at that through a certain lens, the lens of that person that wrote it. You're looking at it from their perspective. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. This is the ultimate history book. And it is the only book that matters. If you're reading another history book, that's fine. Like Brother Alexander, he wrote this book. Great. But if it doesn't line up with what the Word of God says, I'm going to have a problem with it. Right? Which one am I going to throw out? Well, if you go talk to them guys that were ordained during that Donatist movement, they'd probably throw this one out. Right? I'm not doing that. So, page 64. The Paulicians rose to down there at sea. Let's start at that paragraph right above there. Gibbon stated in his classic book, The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire, the faith of the Paulicians stemmed to the first century and was a branch of Antiochian Christianity. It was common in England centuries later for the Anabaptists to be slanderously called Paulicians. Paulicians rose to prominence around AD 660 with the conversion and subsequent leadership of a man named Constantine, not to be confused with Emperor Constantine of Rome. This man lived from 630 to 687 and is not connected to Constantine of Roman Catholic fame, of which we have just spoken. Constantine was from Armenia, a mountainous region, which is now modern-day Turkey. The persecutions against the Paulicians were fierce. Benjamin Evans stated, what the pen failed to do, the sword of the magistrate effected. The Novatians, the Donatists, and others that followed them are examples. Many of them taught those peculiar views of Christian ordinances, which are special to us as Baptists. Beyond all doubt, such views were inculcated by the Paulicians, the primitive Waldenses and their brethren. Over Europe, they were scattered and their converts were numerous, long before the Reformation shed its light on the darkness of Europe. Somebody read D there for me.
To become a Paulician pastor was the equivalent of wearing a target on your chest. When they entered the ministry, they were asked, art thou then able to drink the cup which I am able to drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am about to be baptized? To which they would reply, I take on myself scourgings, imprisonments, tortures, reproaches, crosses, blows, tribulation and all temptations of the world.
So, we just read that. So, this is our timeline. Again, if you look just after the time of the Donatists, Constantine and the beginnings of the Roman Catholic Church, just a few hundred years after that, you've got the Donatists, where the Catholic Church is now pretty well established organization, and the beginning of the Dark Ages has begun. There's a lot of people that want to be in the ministry today. Why do you think that is, brother? Think there would be a lot of people who want to be in the ministry today if they're cutting off pastors' heads? Probably not. At least not. They might want to be on the side that's doing the head cutting. You know what I mean? God always raises up men that are willing to stand. You know, I've often pondered, and if you do a study on this, you'll find what is meant. But God always said that David was a man after his own heart. I've often pondered on what God meant by that, and God always explains everything in his word. But David was not a perfect man, but David was pure in heart. David wasn't a pushover. He wasn't just going to tuck tail and run when things got hard. David's heart was really revealed in multiple accounts, but none like the time when Nathaniel came up. Oh, it was Nathaniel, right? Am I saying that? It was Samuel. Yeah, where'd I get Nathaniel? Samuel came up and pointed his finger. Well, that's my interpretation. Said, "Thou art the man." What did David do? Repented immediately. David did wrong, right? He was wicked. So, getting off track a little bit, but the point is that God raises up men to stand in hard times. There's a lot of people that want to come to the forefront, like we saw last week with the movement of the Donatists, you know, those two pastors that wanted to, one was doing the ordination, the other was being ordained. When it was politically profitable, they allowed their Bibles to be, they allowed Bibles to be burnt. Then soon after that, you know, they're being ordained, or the one's doing the ordaining, the other's not. Tough times will reveal true character. And, you know, like I said, right now you got just droves of people that want to be in the ministry. You know, there's no shortage of it. And I'm not saying anything about anybody, where their heart is. I'm just saying when things get tough, you really find out who people are. And that's true of us too. Not a single person in here, I'm going to be careful how I say this. Let me rephrase it. Let me ask a question. Can you really say what you would do if they came through there right now? They came through that door right now. And they said, "Denounce your God or die." I'd like to think that I know. Let me put it this way. I've already made the decision. But it's really easy to sit here and say I've made that decision right now. Now, I believe that the strength to stand is not going to be in this flesh. At that moment, it is the Spirit of God that is going to give me the strength to do that. That's why a man has to be called. Okay? Pastors have to be called. If they're not called, they're not going to stand. Because there is no strength in the flesh. That's why what I'm saying when we're talking about this, that these, it was driving home the point that these guys, when they surrendered to preach, they had a target on their chest. I'm sure there was a time of proving, but you're not going to jump out there unless you're just nuts and you want to look like a hero, and volunteer to preach or for the ministry, unless you're called. So that's what we're just talking about in this day and age. You know, you study history to understand the present. Okay. So we know we live in a time where things could get really crazy, or things could totally, we could have a revival. I don't know. I don't predict the future. I just read the Bible. But there may be a time coming where we're going to find out who's called and who's not. So letter E. All Eastern emperors persecuted the Paulicians. The worst persecutions were those initiated by the Empress Theodora and her son Michael III, AD 842 to 867. During these 25 years, over 100,000 Paulicians were slain. They were drowned, beheaded, burnt, and killed in many other merciless ways. Anybody ever hear? You ever heard of Bloody Mary? And I'm not talking about the drink. You know who Bloody Mary is? Okay. She was queen in England. And she was notoriously cruel. She pales in comparison to Theodora. I'm not an authority on this topic of Theodora, but what I read, she was the real deal bad guy. Made Bloody Mary look like a preschool teacher. She literally, her and Nero would have made a good couple. She literally, it was part of her evening entertainment to watch them drowned in her presence, Christians. And she told them to make it last. Like, she would tell the guards who were doing the drowning, or whoever she had doing that, that when they would plunge them, don't drown them on the first go. Bring them back up. Put them back down. Bring them back up. Put them back down. And she found this entertaining. Said she would laugh. That's sick. You think people can't be like that today? Let's remove all the societal constraints and let's see what people really look like. Brother Kevin, Brother Ryan, we've been in some of these places of natural disasters. You see glimpses. People lose their creature comforts. We've talked about that before. I'm going to tell you something, and I've heard the pastor say it up here too. Everybody's not your friend. Everybody might be nice. They might hold the door open for you as you go in the gas station. Some common courtesy, some manners, a little bit of that. The Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked. That includes you. I remember in Afghanistan, one of the you have moments in your life where you almost, I don't even know how to put it into words. Something impact, like, I guess maybe the best way to put it is it almost puts you in shock. But don't underestimate what a man can do to another man. Don't underestimate it. It's serious business. I don't always like this class being so heavy. But sometimes, you know, we're talking about heavy things. The reality, I mean, if we're going to treat history as a fairy tale, you know, some storybook with this, you know, happy ending where the kiss the frog and he turns into a prince type thing. We have hope, right? Let's not forget that hope. I'm not meaning to depress you in any way. But we also need to be, you know, prepared for the fact that we live in a sin-cursed world and there's some bad things on the horizon. Read the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
Now, we ain't going to be here for all that. But ain't nobody said we ain't going to go through some times before we get there.
Amen.
Okay? And these people went through some times. And I personally, the more I read this, the more I don't want to be naive and unprepared in heart. And yet you can be prepared in having the best guns and the best knives and the best survival gear and food, you know, a warehouse of food out there. It ain't going to do you any good if you aren't prepared in heart. If your heart's not where it ought to be with the Lord, you are not going to be able to endure these things like these people did. And so the purpose in studying, you know, what the Paulicians went through and talking about what Theodora did, it's to embrace the reality that we live in a sin-cursed world where the heart of man is desperately wicked. Throughout history, we see what men can do to other men. If you're paying attention and you look around you, you can see glimpses of it. Sure, there's some societal constraints. Sure, ultimately the restrainer is here and lives in us to restrain evil. You know, our presence here makes a big difference. But when we're taken out of here, I can't even imagine. Nor do I want to. I don't have to. But between here and there, we need to understand there's nothing guaranteeing that these things will not happen again here. It's already happening. Don't fool yourself. It just isn't here in your neighborhood on American soil.
Right.
We're headed there. We're headed there. Mm-hmm. So to wrap up, Rome thought up many false charges against them. History proves that their doctrine was Baptist Bible doctrine. Persecution sent them fleeing into several Eastern European countries. That's often the way God uses to disperse the gospel. Their prominence lasted well over 400 years. So there's not a lot of documented information about the Paulicians that doesn't come from the church that tried to stamp them out. So again, anytime you're looking for information, as I did, I ran into a lot of putting them in with the reformers, putting them in the Protestants category, the Catholic Church, putting them in a whole other category. But just keep in mind when you're reading history that if you're not viewing it through the lens of the Word of God, then you got the wrong perspective. And whoever you're reading, it needs to be proved. If it's not lining up with the Word of God, it's not true history. So next week we'll start in seven. She went to sleep on me. There we go.
The
Albigenses.
Yeah. Albigenses.
So read lesson 7 and review questions, pages 80 through 82. Before we start that lesson, we're going to have a review time like we tried to do the last time. Study your questions. And remember, last time I had a $20 gift card up here for anybody that could answer the bonus question, and nobody had it. So I don't know if you've seen the price of gas lately, but I'd love a $20 gas card. Anybody want to give me a $20 gas card? That is no problem. Bring it on. So, Not promising I'm going to have a $20 gas card, but we'll have some things. So study, and we'll do some review questions, and we'll get into the Albigenses. That is another wonderful people group to study. To be honest with you, the Waldenses have been my favorite so far, in terms of just the study of the Waldenses. I just thought there was a lot of meat on the bone there. I've also enjoyed the Donatists because of the time frame and the birth of the Roman Catholic Church, which was just absolutely pivotal in our history. And it absolutely playing the what it means in prophecy. When you understand the Roman Catholic Church, it really opens up a lot about prophecy and gives you a great insight into how things are going to play out. So I encourage you to study. Study your history. This is your history. It's your heritage. It's mine. This is who we are. We are God's people. And those are our brothers and sisters in Christ that went before us. We stand here today because of what they did. They preserved God's word. They preserved God's people. Right? We owe them a debt. We owe our Lord. So, Brother Kevin, would you dismiss us in prayer?